Let's read from the Word of God now as we find it recorded in Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Our text is that of verse 30. Psalm 18. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, and now understand that the whole of this psalm you will also be able to find in 2 Samuel 22. Very interesting that in both places, twice recorded, almost word for word, this song wants us to sing it in different settings and in different ways. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord, and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the earth were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a high place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands and his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? It is God that girded me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind, and I did cast them out as the dirt of the streets. Thou hast delivered me from all the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth. And blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. May God bless this, his word to us. The text is the 30th, Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The way of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. This song is a song that arises out of a very grateful heart. A heart that's overwhelmed as it reviews God's many and marvelous mercies. As he sees what God has done, he sees them as expressions of the mercy of God, and he reviews them. And as we end a calendar year, this fits us too, as we can consider why God is worthy of our trust. The first part of the psalm declares God's way to be perfect. But that leads to that last part. He's a buckler to them that trust in him. And so the whole point of this is to give us encouragement as we face a new year. There's no reason why we ought not and need not trust him. And then experience that he is a buckler, a shield, a tremendously wonderful shield that is there always for us. We take as our theme those words with which the verse begins. As for God, his way is perfect. And now reflect. Some baptisms, confessions of faith, marriages, a death. A death of a member in our congregation. But the Van Osten Bruggies know of a death. And all the students at Covenant know of a death. Things that hurt. But there were also many things in the course of this past year that were delightful. They were good. We appreciated and we enjoyed them. But there were also not just things we would call bad and hurtful or things we would call delightful and good, but there were probably more things that took place in this past year that don't get our attention because they're so normal. They just happen every day. All the different meals that we've eaten. All the different times that we greeted people and met people. All kinds of things have happened that are such a course of our life that don't distinguish 2017 from any other year. Oh, there's special relationships maybe that were there, but there are others that, well, it's just the way it is. There have been those occasions where David says in verses 4 and 5, I was brought to the edge of death, my death. The sorrows of death compassed me. And then he speaks about the grave as hell in verse 5. The sorrows of hell compassed me. And those who have experienced the death of a loved one, parent, a grandparent, an uncle, an aunt, brings very fiercely to us the realization that this life ends. And if we make this life everything, it's going to have an end. It is not going to keep going forever. And we're going to taste that. We're going to know that. We're going to experience that. Some of us have experienced other hurts, criticisms that were not given in love, but unlovingly. There's been frustrations in our work, in our home. Some of us have known the reality of fears and depressions. There's been marriages that have struggled. And every one of us who is married has known moments of difficulty. It's not just the pain of giving birth, but it's also the tremendously difficult time of rearing children that can be just as hard, bringing them up, having the wisdom to know how to deal with each one in a best way. We've experienced persecution in a variety of ways. Maybe not us particularly, but we know that the church has, the Church of Christ. And as we reflect and look back at the normal, at the delightful, and at the hard and hurtful, that's when we want to come to the words of this text and be able to say, as for God, His way is perfect. What is God's way? Well, first, God's way refers in a narrow sense to His commandments. What He has issued to us to do and what He's commanded us to live. How He tells us to respond to all these different things that have happened to us. Summarized now very briefly in the Ten Commandments and in the calling to love God and our neighbor. But there have been commandments that God has issued for us and He's directed us in how to deal with those that have hurt us. To go through the experience of a David. You've been anointed to be king, but the present king has been chasing you for years, seeking your life. You have opportunity to take his life, but the commandment of God is, he's the anointed of the Lord too, and you may not execute judgment on him. God will, but you may not. How we have to respond to those who bully us or hurt us. How we have to deal with those that when we do wrong and we get punished for it, but especially when we do right and we're judged critically for it. God's law is His way. God's way is also found in His way of grace. The knowledge that God never ceased in any millisecond of 2017 executing His love in a very real way, carrying out His love for every single one of His people. An infant, one with dementia, for every single one of us, He never stopped performing what was absolutely the best way to show His love. That was His way. That's another way of God. That was perfect. Not whether we get it, but His way was always one of saving grace, performing a work of shaping and molding us into that glorious body. Not always the way we wanted it, but that's not what it's all about. It's Him shaping us to fit in the right place in that glorious body of Jesus Christ. Not here, but in the body in heaven, in the life to come. His way is in the law that He gives for us in His commandments. His way is in His work of saving us. His way is His use of all of creation and of all of providence. Now, David doesn't relate that so much, but it is interesting to note that when he talks about how God responded to his cry, as you find it described here in verses 7 and through verse 15, he speaks of the power that God exercised in the realm of creation for David. God responded to David's cry out of hurt and for help by saying, "The earth shook and trembled, the foundations of the hills were moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth. Coals were rekindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet." You keep going through those next verses. God worked in the realm of creation Again, he declares it, whether we get it, whether we see it, he declares God used all of his control over everything within the realm of creation to accomplish his purpose. That's his way. And all of this shows that whatever happened, equals God's way. This is what he planned. And this is what God is doing. It's not the weather. It rained. It snowed. It's cold. No, God. We don't even know how to say it. But God is doing it. Not an it. Not a her, a mother nature. God is at work. God is at work when somebody gets dementia. God is at work in the formation of a baby within a womb. God is at work in bringing two to know each other and love each other. God is at work. This is God's way. There's no mistake in anything that he performed because God was performing it all. Nothing happened by chance. And here's the most amazing part of it. He is able to use the devil and all of his host in his service. He is able to use the sins that are committed against us. He is able to use our stupidities and our follies and our sins. They're a part of his way. They're not just my sin. And if you will, he planned that I sinned. And he controlled that I sinned. It doesn't take a bit away from my responsibility because I was disobeying his commandments. But that does not mean that my sin is outside the realm of his control and his way. And when others sin against me with their mouth, with their actions, that's his way. That's under his plan. That's a part of his providential control. Now notice about that way that when David in this psalm speaks of his successes, how he speaks of them. David had victories. Things went right. He was able to defeat his enemies. His successes. He experienced a good marriage. Those great moments when parenting goes exactly beautifully and harmoniously. The last year of the economy, and not just the stock market, but the way in which the employments worked and the prosperity that generally characterizes. It went well to be able to maintain and then to add. Health, strength. Okay, now, in all of those successes, listen to how he describes it. Not, I did it. We did it. I was so smart in that business deal. I've kept my health. No. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. He brought me forth also unto a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. Verse 27, thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. Thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee, I have run through a troop. And by my God, I have leaped over a wall. 32. It is God that girded me with strength and made my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me on my high places. When we won, God did it. When the job went well, God did it. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness, isn't that beautiful? Thy gentleness hath made me great. Underline that one. Thy gentleness has made me great. Verse 39. Thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me all those that rose up against me. Thou hast given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hated me. Verse 43, thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. Verse 47, it is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. It's all what God did for me. Whether in said play or in work, it's all God that has given us the success. That's God's way. Now, he says, as for God, his way is perfect. Now, normally, we want to be careful about the use of the word perfect, because we use the word perfect differently than the King James translators did. We use the word perfect to mean no fault, no sin, nothing wrong. Now, with regard to God's way, that's true. But that's not the emphasis, because the emphasis of that word that's translated perfect in the Old Testament scriptures particularly means it's complete. It's entirely in accord with what's right and with truth. It's complete. It brings to completion. So the first thing that would mean is this. All of God's actions are perfect. That is, they are agreeable to his eternal plan. They're in perfect harmony with what he determined before the foundation of the world. They're perfect in the sense of being complete in this sense. Every single thing that did and that happened is going to be characterized by God. Now, what we mean by that, of course, is this. God is the name that describes him, that being who possesses every virtue, every attribute, and he possesses them eternally. He possesses them infinitely. You can't measure them. He possesses them in their fullness. So that means God's way is perfect. God's way is complete. Every event, every circumstance is a reflection of the perfections of God. His justice, His holiness, His grace, His mercy. Think of any attribute of God. And every event that took place under God's control, and that's everything, is going to be characterized by those perfections. His way is consistent with every one of His attributes. And every one of His attributes is reflected in what He does. Second, God's way is perfect and complete. Familiar thought, but a different way to say it. And it means this, that everything is wholesome and healthful and good. God cannot be charged with getting it wrong. God cannot be charged with being unjust in any of His ways. All of God's ways put together are exactly why those familiar words of Romans 8:28 are true. All things work together for good. His way is perfect. A bad hair day, a great hair day, and everything in between. So once again, God says to us in these kinds of words, would you look up? When would you realize that there was nothing that happened but according to His way. And that right now, and now try to remember that when somebody says something snotty in the car on the way home, or somebody says something that really hurts, or they tell you it's God's way. This is God's way. This is God's way. This is God's way. It's perfect. It's just right. Now, this is why that next phrase in verse 30 is so important. The word of the Lord is tried. What that means is this. God has just said, this is my way. When God says that about His way, then what those words, the word of the Lord, the way the word of the Lord is tried, means this. In God's judgment, this is what God is telling us about Himself and His work. This is not some other humans. This is God Himself, the word of the Lord, the word of Jehovah, is making this declaration about Himself and His work. God's teachings, God's commands, God's promises, God's way is always right. And no more is that obvious than in the Lord Jesus Christ. When it's tried, it means it's been tested. It's been proved. It's been smelted. It's been refined. And it's found to be true. How many saints, how many adopted children of God have there been? How many of those adopted children of God have had His word set before them And they've heard his promises. They heard his declarations. They heard him say, this is my work and my doing. And the declaration of this part of the verse is this. Saint after saint after saint after saint has said, that's right. Sometimes it hurt horribly. Sometimes it was extremely hard. But God's way was right. When he commanded me to love, and I didn't want to, he was right. When he told me to forgive, to be long-suffering, he was right. That was the way I had to do it. I might not have wanted to, but it was just what I was supposed to do, and now I realize it. His word was tried. I tested it, and I found that my way wasn't. My way failed, but his way was the right way. And that's, beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the two main purposes for the judgment day. One purpose is going to be, he's going to make us marvel at how much forgiveness is bought in the blood of Jesus for so many sins. But the other reason, the other main purpose for the judgment day is he will actually demonstrate and prove and show everything that happened to each one of them, the millions of his children, is exactly perfect. It was the best way. As for God, his way is perfect. I want a child. He doesn't give one. I want a mate. He doesn't give one. I want a better wife. He doesn't give one. I want a parent that he knows what he's doing. His way is perfect. He's been tried. His word has been tried. His promises have been tried. And he's been faithful and true. What blessings flow from that thought? That's the last part of the verse. Trust him. The concept of trust implies I don't get it. My perspective, my understanding, it doesn't seem to be right. So Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Trust is the exercise of faith that looks up and says, God is good to me always. I'll say it again, and then again, and then again. God is good to me always. God is good. God is good. The Lord Jesus Christ trusted God's way. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. No. You have to drink this cup. And when he drank that cup of the wrath of God and experienced hells, all of our hells, then By thee I was carried. By thee I have run through a troop. And my God, by my God have I leaped over a wall. That's Jesus. And that's the quiet trust of every child of God, of every son and daughter of such a beautiful heavenly Father. That we learn that God's favor, He's my rock, He's my fortress, He's my deliverer, He's my God, my strength, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation in my high tower, I will love Him. Trust Him and love Him. And He is a strong defense, a shield. That's what a buckler is. In whom I will trust. The middle of verse 2. I seek Him for refuge. I fly to Him for protection. I confide in Him. And how He can use my sins even to accomplish His purpose and make them work for good. I'm going to trust Him. I'm not going to try to figure out my way. If I'm going to win, David says, it was because, all because of my God. And now once again, my God. I really don't get it. I belong to Him. He to me? But that's what He says. That's how close, that's how wonderful the relationship is that He's established with us. My God, our Father. Then look at how the psalm ends. Therefore will I give thanks unto Thee, O Jehovah, and sing praises to Thy name. Great deliverance giveth He to the king, and showeth mercy to His anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. What does He show? Mercy. Undeserved favor that loves to bless the miserable. Sing. And declare, I will love Thee, I will love Thee, I will love Thee, because Thou always dost love me first. What a way to end. What a way to begin. Our God, His way is perfect. Amen. Bless Thy word. Gracious, merciful Father, bless Thy word to us. Bring it home. May it dwell within our soul as a reality, as a wonderful, wonderful hope, and every reason for us to trust. For Jesus' sake, amen.